Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning and welcome to the Clay County Corner. We have local happenings, events, and general information about Clay County. This is Susan Bailey at the historical Clay County Courthouse on the Square in Salina. We're sponsored in part and hosted by the 3-Star Volunteer Program of Clay County and by the Clay County Chamber of Commerce. This show will be replayed again this evening at 5 o'clock p.m. Notice the change. We're usually replayed at 6, but tonight it will be at 5 o'clock p.m. I want to give a quick little shout-out to one of our local football players, J.R. Fraga. He's been racking up some major yardage on the field, especially last week. So I want to say good luck, way to go, J.R. And just let you know that we have a good show planned for you during the next hour. So go out and grab another cup of coffee, and don't forget to call some of your neighbors and just remind them to tune in right now on 101.5 to get the latest Clay County happenings. On the lineup today, we're going to hear from Dean Walden, and she's going to be talking about a building restoration in the Hermitage Springs area. Then we'll have Wanda Daniels, who will be updating us on voter registration, something that we all need to do. Be registered to vote. And then we're going to have an appearance from John Deaton, who's been doing some local artwork in and around town, and Thomas Watson, who will be talking about the cruise in that's coming up this Saturday. We'll take a short break right now for our sponsors, and then we will continue with Dean Walden just as soon as we return.
Hello, this is Paula Boone with Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center. We are excited to announce 2 new services available to our community. We are now offering adult daycare and outpatient therapies. Our adult daycare program is designed to provide improvements in the health of adults who may just need a safe place to be during the day. Nutritious meals, snacks, activities, and a full-service beauty shop are just a few of the services available. Outpatient physical, occupational, and speech therapies are now offered to our community as well. Most major insurance plans are accepted. For more information, give us a call today at 931-243-3139. We will be glad to assist you. Again, that is 931-243-3139, Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center in Salina, Tennessee.
Welcome back to the Clay County Corner. This is Susan Bailey on 101.5 FM. Dean Walden is here with us today. Dean, you're here to talk about an active movement to save a building.
That's right, Susan. We have put this off far too long, so I thought it was time to get started on it.
Absolutely. Now, tell us a little about where the building's located.
It is located in Hermitage Springs, right on the edge of Highway 52, at the entrance to the Hermitage Springs Park.
You know, it's funny because I noticed I was driving through there about a week and a half ago, and my attention was drawn to that building, and I was talking with my son about, oh, what a shame, I wish that could be preserved, and blah, blah, blah. You know, I was just talking on and on about the building, and then came back to Salina and realized you were working on it, and I
yes.
thought, that is awesome.
Yes, I had just started. We've been talking about this for several years now, and nobody seemed to want to get started on it, so I thought I might as well get out there and see what I could get done.
Yeah.
So hopefully.
Well, it's a big project. It looks like it's going to really be a big
yes,
project.
Yes, it is, and we need all the help we can get.
Yes. Can you share some information with us about where that building was originally located, and how did it get to where it is now?
It was located over by the creek.
Okay, the creek that runs through?
Yes.
Hermitage Springs.
Because Highway 52 was not there at that time. There was no road there, but it was located over by the creek. And they moved it. The road was built in 1923, so some about that time, by the time they got the road done, they moved the building.
Okay.
And I was told that they moved it on logs. I can't see how they did that, but this is just the story I was told. Mm-hmm. They'd put it up on these logs, and they'd roll the logs till they run out of logs, and then they'd start it from the other side again.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the way over, it started to break apart. So they went inside and put big bolts to hold it together.
Yeah.
And those bolts are still in it.
Wow. You know, I understand that's the way a lot of the old houses that have been relocated here, that's how they were moved, with those mm-hmm. large logs. And I mean, those things are heavy, too.
Yeah.
So it took, I'm sure, a lot of men just to pick one log up and move it back around. Or
mm-hmm.
probably not men, maybe men and horses, men and mules or something.
Yeah, they probably had a mule or some mules or something. Anyway, Miss Avy Green, one of the residents of Hermitage Branch, well, she's deceased now,
mm-hmm.
had told us that story, and she could remember seeing them move it.
Wow.
She said it took a long time.
Yeah, and I bet there were a lot of people out sitting in the chairs and
sure
watching.
There was. I'm sure there was.
When was that building actually built? You shared that with me the other day, and I thought that was pretty amazing.
Mrs. Green said 1888.
Mm-hmm. That is a long, long time ago.
Yes, it is. Possibly, from some of the information I have, it could go back to 1883, but
mm-hmm.
now that's what she said, and that's probably right.
Mm-hmm. So I actually drove back over there at a later time and drove back and looked behind the building, too. And you mentioned, too, that there were some additions put on it later. So are you going to try to hang on to those? Or?
No, those additions are not part of the original building. And I think they were put there maybe for storage. Or I know some of the people that operated the store lived in there.
Okay.
And they so that was maybe one of the reasons they were built, or possibly
yeah.
for extra storage, I'm not sure.
Okay, so the original building is, it's still pretty big, still
yeah.
a pretty good size.
Yeah, the original building is pretty big, but those additions on the side just need to come off, and we do plan to take those
yeah.
away.
Yeah, they actually distract from,
yes,
the,
they do.
From
yes.
the building, from the how nice it would normally look.
Yes.
Well, are you working toward getting this put on the historical registry?
Oh, yes. That's my first project, is to get it on historical. And I'm looking for information, records, anything I can find. Anybody out there knows anything, has dates, pictures, anything they remember that they about it, I would appreciate it if they would let me know.
Yeah, please, please do call. Or what's the best way to get that information to you if somebody does know?
Just call me. My phone number is 615-699-4583.
Okay. And I'm sure if they, if you didn't get that down, or if you lose it or something, you could also come by or call the Chamber of Commerce.
Oh, yes, call the Chamber of Commerce, and
they
will get you in touch with
they'll
me.
They'll get it to you.
And Brenda Browning, the Register of Deeds, is working with me on this.
Okay. What's involved in that process?
At this point, I'm not entirely sure. I think mm-hmm. it's just getting the history and being
right.
able, of course, you got to be able to prove it.
Right.
And send in an application to the right organization, and I'm not sure what that is today, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a process, I know.
Yes,
but thank goodness Brenda has all of those records.
Yes.
And it's just going back through and backtracking.
Unfortunately, they didn't keep tax records. If they had kept those, it would be a lot easier.
Yeah.
But they didn't keep those.
Wow.
So she's just going back through old deeds, and hopefully she'll come up with something.
Well, how did the building actually become property of the Hermitage Springs Park?
Well, when... Melvin Grace and Dale Collier donated the land for the park. The building was on the property
okay.
that Melvin donated.
Mm-hmm.
So he gave it to the park to be used as a community center, or, you know, whatever we want to use it for.
Mm-hmm.
And so essentially it belongs to the county now.
Okay. What was actually in the building last when it was operational, and what kind of things have been in the building?
It was a grocery store, and over the years it was, you know, general merchandise. Of course, those old stores back in when it originally built had everything.
Everything.
But originally Melvin Grace was the last one to operate it, and it was a grocery store.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of people remember that and walk through those doors.
Oh, yeah.
Find a lot of things.
And then it was also the Hermitage Springs Post Office was in that building.
Okay.
But it was, I think the last time we had a post office was in 1936.
Golly. Yeah, I don't remember that. So Melvin's grocery store was the last business, actually,
yes,
that occupied the building.
Yes, it was the last business. Okay. It's been used since then. The Baptist Church used it for a while as a meeting place. The fire department used it for several years as a haunted house.
Okay. Well, how long has it been since it's been used at all? When the fire department,
the fire,
I guess it's been fairly recent.
Yes.
Maybe the last, not since about 5 years or so,
maybe
longer than that.
I don't think it's been more than 5 years.
Okay. So, you know, it's just incredible that the building is still there and that we're going to be able to use it. That's just a wonderful situation that we can be in. We've got so few buildings that are that old that are left in our county.
That's right, and I think we really need to try to preserve those old buildings because that's part of our heritage.
It sure is. And it'll be beautiful once, I think,
additions
are removed and you can actually start working on it.
Uh-huh.
What are some of the things that you're thinking? I know you've been thinking about what to do with it and what can take place in it after it's renovated.
I think it would be beautiful if we could use it as a community center,
mm-hmm.
and we could rent it out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Let people use it. It would be nice for a wedding or a family reunion or
Can't you imagine?
Class reunion. Or
imagine the restoration of those floors, the wood floors that we're also used to seeing in the old establishments and the walls, too. It's just, it's got the potential to be a beautiful place for those kind of things.
Uh-huh.
Well, Dean, we need to take a quick break, and then we'll return with more about the Harmony Springs project.
All right.
Good afternoon, this is Elaine Closure. We're trying to help everyone get through this vast home improvement warehouse. We're currently in the plumbing department, but there seems to be a cart with a pallet of 2x4s turned sideways in the aisle. No one can get through. And don't even try the paint counter. They're going to be bottlenecked there for the next hour at least. You may want to avoid that area and try an alternate route. Are you tired of the long lines at the big box home improvement centers? Come visit the folks at Salina Lumber for all your home improvement needs right here at home. Remember the personal attention you used to get at the old corner store? Well, that same experience still exists at Salina Lumber Company, your local PPG Porter Paints dealer, where you'll find the perfect paint, expertise, product knowledge, and personal service to help you complete any paint job inside and out. Every job deserves PPG Porter Paints, a trusted brand for 90 years. Catch the PPG Porter Paints experience at Salina Lumber Company, where we're so much more than lumber.
Welcome back. This is Susan Bailey with the Clay County Corner. Sitting here with me is Dean Walden, and we've been discussing the renovation of the old, I guess the old post office, the old Melvin Grace store in Hermitage Springs. Dean, I believe you actually had some contact with the History Club. Are they going to be able to participate in helping at some point with any of this?
Oh, we'd be really glad to have them. Mm-hmm. We just need to be sure everything's safe before they go in the building. I know that there's some weak places in the floor, but the foundation itself, I feel like, is all intact.
Uh-huh. Well, that's good. Yeah, as long as you got a foundation, foundation.
Yes, we can fix the floor.
Yeah.
But I want to be sure that they're not going to get hurt, you know, before I let them in there.
Yeah.
We did have some Modern Woodman kids from Hermitage Springs out there this past Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut down all the weeds and stuff around it, so it that helped a lot.
well, I'm going to have to drive back out there.
It does have one of the old sulfur wells that, you know, around 1900, they was going to make Hermitage Springs into a resort area.
Ah.
And they built hotels and the wells, you know, the mineral water. It's the same as what they have in Red Boiling.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of those old wells is right directly in front of this building. So.
Boy, I see potential right there, too. I know that funding is an issue with anything and everything that we do. It costs money. What's in the plan so far to try to get some kind of funding?
We want to try to get a grant. I've talked to Doug Young and the Three Star people about that. Mm-hmm. And Doug thinks we might be able to get a grant. Plus, if we could start some kind of a building fund, if anyone was interested in donating some money,
mm-hmm.
I'd be glad to do that. We could set up a fund at the bank at Hermitage Springs
uh-huh.
for that purpose. Possibly some fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
Like we have fundraisers at the park a couple of times a year because that's the way we operate that park.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we could have one for that. And when we have those, we usually have food and a cakewalk and different activities that mm-hmm. last all day, and we usually do pretty good with
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, it's something for people to get out and do.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. occupy the kids, too.
Yes.
Have something for everybody, for the whole family. I want to hit again a little bit about the asking for help. We discussed asking for help yesterday, and then you mentioned a minute ago how important it's going to be to get more information about the building. That alone could help to make the difference between
that,
getting it on the historical registry.
That alone can make the difference in whether we even get this job done or not. Because
right.
in order to get it on the registry and to get a grant,
mm-hmm.
we're going to have this information.
Yeah, we've got to have all the ducks in the row.
Yes.
Everything
so
there.
If anybody out there has any old stories or pictures, please get them in to us.
And then, too, any volunteers that might be interested in lending a hand to help
yes.
preserve this old building.
Yes, we're going to need volunteers.
We need lots of elbow grease.
Right.
Lots of people with hammers and all that sort of thing. Of course, there is a lot of work to be done. Have you contacted the county sheriff yet about maybe getting some of the inmates to help with some of the cleanup or project work?
No, you know, I didn't really think about that, but that's a great idea until I talked to you yesterday, Susan.
Yeah.
And, but that's a great idea.
Yeah. They're, you know, they get out and help all around in the,
yes.
in the county anyway, and it would be such a good service project.
Some of them do good work.
They sure do. They sure do, and we could definitely give them an opportunity
yes.
to do some really good things for the county. Is there anything else? I want to make sure that we cover everything. I'm trying to think if we've left anything out. I know that we've it'll actually be an entryway to the park
yes.
also
uh-huh.
because it's right there where you turn in to go back
yes.
to the park, and that could be just kind of a welcome center of sorts,
yes, uh-huh.
actually, for the park. Are there, I know there are public restrooms just behind, I think
yes,
behind the building.
Yes, in
so
the, yeah.
Is there a restroom facility in the building, a potential for that, or?
Probably, if there is, it's in that addition.
Probably, yeah, where the home
uh-huh.
home part was. Well, is there anything else you'd like to add about the building? Or anything that's coming up in the park? Do you have any projects planned yet for fundraising?
Well, we just did our pancake breakfast a couple of weeks ago.
Right. And that went well, I
that
heard.
Went well mm-hmm. in spite of the rain.
Oh, I know. We just battled the rain all year.
Yes, we have.
Just about everything.
But right now we don't have anything else planned. Oh, yes, we do. We have Halloween in the park.
Oh, okay.
On the 31st, on Halloween.
On Halloween.
And we're going to try to have a movie.
Wonderful.
We're going to give away trick-or-treat bags,
mm-hmm.
and we'll have a bonfire with hot dogs.
Okay. Well, you know what? That'd be a great place to come.
It will.
And for all the kids to be safe mm-hmm. and not have to get out on the roads.
Yeah.
It gets so dangerous when they get out on the road sometimes.
We will start our fire about 5 o'clock or, you know, about dark and go as long as anybody's there. So.
Oh, that's going to be fun. Are they going to get to roast wieners or anything?
Oh, yes, they get to roast wieners. The kids love that. Wieners.
We're sure they do.
Marshmallows, and we have hot chocolate. And
yeah. Those s'mores, I mean, the marshmallows, we always do it. But, oh, my goodness, they're so messy.
So I'd like to invite everybody out for that.
Okay, and that's October the 31st,
right.
On Halloween evening.
Right.
Wonderful. All right, well, Dean, thank you so much for your efforts, especially to bring life back to an old building. And I want to take this opportunity again to appeal to the listeners to provide some help with this project. It's a very, very important project. And, Dean, I think we can ask those interested, again, to contact the Chamber of Commerce and to call you at your number?
615-699-4583.
Awesome. And with that, let's take a break here for our sponsors, and then we'll come back with Ms. Wanda Daniels. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cumberland River Hospital in Salina is pleased to announce that Dr. Jeff Moore, general and vascular surgeon from Cookeville Regional Medical Center, will be scheduling office visits in Salina every Tuesday, keeping your care closer to home. Receiving his medical degree from the University of Tennessee College of Medicine, Dr. Moore will be seeing patients in his office at Cumberland River Hospital each week and specializes in a number of surgical procedures. For appointments, call his Cookeville office at 931-528-1992. That's 931-528-1992. Cumberland River Hospital and Cookeville Regional Medical Center. When proven providers come together, everybody wins.
Whoa, a digital music player. Thanks, Mom.
Glad you like it. We can finally toss out that old massive stereo.
Mom, you can't just throw out electronics. They need to be recycled or donated.
Recycled? Like aluminum cans?
Yeah. You just go to greenergadgets.org, enter your zip code, and it tells you where the nearest certified recycling center is.
I knew that.
Okay, Mom.
Recycling electronics is as easy as buying them. Log on to greenergadgets.org to find electronics recycling options near you.
This is the Clay County Corner. I'm back. This is Susan Bailey. I'm back with Wanda Daniels. Wanda, would you care to tell everybody where your office is located and what your job title is?
Yes, we're located at the 145 Cordell Hull Drive, and it's located down at the community center, and at the end of the community center on the other side, the courthouse is built on, so all the offices is down there. And my title is Administrator of Elections Office.
All righty. You know, you mentioned on the other end is all the county offices, and I'm so glad you did that because it's so funny, almost every Thursday when we're in here, somebody comes in wanting to know, is this where you get your license? Or people realize to this day that those county offices have moved. So they're all down there with you now.
All down there together.
Your office has been down there quite a while.
Yes.
So, but then you go in and go to the right to you and over to the left to most of the county offices, except for the county mayor.
Yes.
And he's over to the right in your direction. How long does a person have before they need to change their voter registration, either somebody that comes in like as a new resident or if you move or something?
They have 30 days before the next election.
Okay.
30 days before the election, they cut everybody off. So they have until August the 7th, I think, is our first election this year, and then 30 days before that.
Okay. So we'll in 2014.
Yes.
Then they'll have up until the deadline will be no later than 30 days before voting time. And you know, people tend to get frustrated or aggravated if they fail to meet that deadline, but it's something that's mandated.
Yes.
You don't have any control over that.
No.
So people need to realize that if they don't get that done, then it's something that is our responsibility to do, to take care of. We were talking a little bit earlier about when young voters can get registered. What do you do? You do something special, extra, by going to the schools. Tell me about that.
We go twice a year, and we go down there and set up a table for all the seniors to get registered before the next election, which is coming up right now. We'll soon be doing that. And the ones that is not 18 yet, can still register at the age of 17.
Okay.
And quick as we get their registration cards and take them to back to the office, like if their birthday is the next month or two from here, then we can put them in as their birthdays come up, and then they'll be registered for next August.
Okay, so that's if they come to the table when
yes.
they're out there.
Yes.
So you're fixing to do that here pretty soon, and then you'll probably do it again maybe in
April.
Spring?
April or May.
Okay, April or May. And that'll be plenty of time
yes.
to get them ready for the August election. All right, well, that's a good service. You know, you don't have to do that.
No.
And that's good that you go into the schools and help them out, because I know kids today have their minds going in a thousand different directions.
Yes, they do.
And it's something, it's a good service to help keep them in the right direction, too. And that applies then for any voter before any election, whenever the election is, you've got 30 days.
30 days.
Prior to. What pieces of information does somebody have to bring with them if they're coming to register?
For the first time?
Uh-huh.
Their proof of address, where they live. It could be electric bill or a water bill or an envelope showing that they have received mail at that address where they live.
Okay.
And driving license.
And that goes, too, for the young adults, for the kids that are 17. What do they have to have?
Nothing. We just go there and register them and take it back. No,
okay. Because if they're registered in school, then
they're
a Clay County resident
they
anyway.
They don't have nothing.
Okay. What are some other services that you provide in the office? That's a big one, going into the schools.
Yes.
I know you helped me out at one time. I had involved in a committee with the county, and you were guiding me to the proper way of filling out the information that had to go in.
It's like for your campaign financial disclosure.
Yeah.
You have to do that when you're on any kind of committee or you're running for an office in the county. And that's like where you get a notice, and some people don't understand what they got, so they come back to the office and ask me, and then I try to help them any way I can. And we try right now to get it out, put it in the paper, that people like living in this county, if they move from one district to the other, they need to come in and change their address. They don't realize when they move from one district to another district that they cannot vote in that district. They'll have to go back to the other district where they resided before, unless they change their address. And that gets frustrated for a lot of people because they don't understand when election time comes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't understand either, but if they're living in Clay County and they move out of the county into another county, that they need to get registered there at their new address.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you know, they may think that all of the offices talk to each other. Well, you don't.
Yes, yes.
You know, you don't have a means, you don't have a system set up that you can actually share that information.
The
so
way
it's
that
important
is,
to us
no,
to take
cannot
care of it.
Move to another county and expect to go to, like, if a person living in Clay County and they move to Putnam County, they can't expect in that county on election day or during early voting that they can go there to vote when they're not registered there.
Mm-hmm.
So more likely the Putnam County Election Commission will send them back over here.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets frustrated to a lot of people that they don't know. Because, like you said, they don't understand that we don't all connect together and you can go anywhere in within these counties in the state of Tennessee and vote, because a lot of people think once you're registered in one county that they can go in any other county and be still registered there.
Yeah.
And they're not.
Yeah. But there's not a universal system that has everybody written down
even,
in it that you can tap into.
No, even within your own county, we have five districts and seven precincts.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those districts is broke up into two precincts, so that makes five districts and two precincts.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, if you're voting in District 5 on Pea Ridge, and they decide they want to move from there and go to Denton's Crossroads over there in that district, and they decide, well, we're closer over here, during this election, we're just going to go over here and vote. But they're not registered over there. They have to go back to the district where they was registered at, because the district is broke up, and they have to vote within their district.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that unless they change their address.
Right. And I've experienced that before, moving from town to Butler's Landing and then back to town again. And my name is just physically written in the book. It's not a whole system. Well, it's typed. It's typed, too.
Yes.
But then I guess last minute you're getting in the book, and but it is, that's all that they have access to is what is registered at that
site. We have poll books.
Mm-hmm.
My voter central prints off each poll book to go to each district.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in that district, then when you go there to vote, your name don't show up on the poll book.
Mm-hmm.
So they call my office, and you've not changed your address, so you have to go back to the district where you voted before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's frustrating to a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's the reason I'm trying to get the word out that everybody needs to change their address for this next election.
Right. And there's plenty of time between now and then.
Plenty.
And, you know, even if you're anticipating a move, you need to be thinking about, there's lots of things that you've got to change when you change addresses.
Driving license.
Absolutely. Yeah, that includes the voter registration is right there in with it, too. I know something else that you do handle, too, is anybody, when election time comes up, for example, if somebody wants to run, then you manage all those forms and say, if I want to come and run for something, you know, what would I do?
You come into my office and request a petition, and we print that off for you, and then you go out and get 25 signatures.
Okay.
Of registered voters within the county or within your district where you're voting.
Okay.
And you bring them back in. We verify that all those signatures is true and those people is registered voters.
Okay.
And then you're to go. You're go. And then anything else you need help with, like when's early voting start, or we don't have to do this. We usually fix petition packages for each person that wants to run for some office. Letting them know what their qualifications is for that office, and we give all that information out, and then when early voting starts and when the election days is going to be and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to do that, but we try to get all that together for the ones that want to run for offices.
Well, you know, because anybody that's new coming into something like that that's never done it before, they wouldn't have a clue of the process that needs to take
place.
That's
what we're there for. We're to help anybody that wants, you know.
Yeah. Well, I've been in several times, and I know that the office is very receptive, you know, and y'all are more than willing to help answer anything that you come in with.
That's what we're there for. Everybody, every voter, every vote counts. We need everybody.
Absolutely.
I mean, we want everybody to vote.
That's true. Have there been any changes with the types of machines or anything like that that's come about? Anything new?
We still got the same voting machine as we did 2012, but there's one more thing that I need to add to this.
Okay.
In 2010, you know that the law changed that everybody has to have a photo ID of some sort with the government.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, they said that anybody that wanted to, like a Indiana person that moved here and had an old driving license, of an Indiana driving license, they could use it. The law changed after that.
Mm.
They will no longer accept out-of-state driving license from nobody. It has to be, you know, old driving license in Tennessee. Yes.
Okay,
that
so
law changed.
That's one more thing. You've got to, any time you move or you change residences, you've got to update everything you have to get a new driver's license.
Yes.
And
when anybody registers to vote and we send their card out, we do try to send all that information out with their card so they'll know that.
Well, I know our VISTA, Jan Carroll, that came last year, she was living in Florida when she came on as a VISTA with us through the chamber, and she changed her residence, changed her address, she got a new driver's license, she went through the entire process, and she actually got to vote in one of our elections.
Oh, so
that was pretty exciting, you know, that it was important enough to her to do all those things too. And it should be important to all of us.
Everybody.
It should be. Well, it's time for a break. We're going to go to our sponsors.
Husqvarna is the world's largest producer of outdoor power products. Husqvarna offers a full line of lawn and garden equipment for the homeowner and the professional. Chainsaws, blowers, trimmers, mowers, tillers, and zero turns. Husqvarna has everything you need and is here to help you with all of your outdoor power equipment needs. Stop by Clay County Farm Supply at 408 Brown Street in Salina or give them a call at 931-243-4169 to see how Husqvarna can help you. Husqvarna, taming the wild.
Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee is now your certified dealer for Gator Made trailers. Gator Made is your best source to buy trailers factory direct. Gator Made Trailers offer a wide variety and style of trailers, such as utility, gooseneck, equipment, and pintle hitch trailers, enclosed cargo trailers, flatbed, platform, cargo, and dump trailers. And financing is available for Gator Made Trailers and Husqvarna products at Clay County Farm Supply in Salina, Tennessee.
Welcome back. I'm sitting here with Wanda Daniels. She's from the voting office, and we were talking about a lot of the things that have to be in place to be able to vote, and some of the other services that are offered. And Wanda, you mentioned a while ago that we do have a big election coming up in August. Can you elaborate on what's coming in 2014? Some of those things that we're going to be looking forward to voting in.
Yes, I can. Well, first of all, we have the United States Senate, mm-hmm. and then we have the governor, and we also have the Congress, and then we have the Tennessee Senate and the Representative of House Tennessee, and then from there we have our we'll have our judicial judges, which will be the district attorney. He'll be in the, and we'll also have the chancery judge, general session judge. We'll have the circuit court judge. There's a part one and part two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have criminal court judges. There's a part one and part two of them.
Gosh.
And from there, the county, like the county mayor, all the way down to even to the constables.
Mm-hmm.
School board members, we have three districts of them of running.
Mm-hmm.
And trustee and pretty much about everything.
Oh, that is going to be
county
a big, big election. So
it's going to be a big one.
Yeah, even more important right now for people to start thinking about,
yes.
Am I properly registered?
Yes.
And if not, you know, it's never too early to go down and
no.
and fix that. So, but that's going to be an awful lot on the plate coming up in August. And you mentioned there might be something maybe in May?
We've got some people that might be wanting the judicial judges,
uh-huh.
or they the criminal court judge.
Mm-hmm.
I think Judge Burns is retiring, and there's more people wanting to run in his position.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they've got seven counties they run in. Clay County don't have a May primary. Never has had,
mm-hmm.
as far as I ever know. And I think that they want to have a May primary for the judicial judges.
Mm-hmm.
So that might be possible.
Mm-hmm.
They're working it up right now. So they've not let me know nothing yet. But
okay.
It could
but that's
be
a possibility.
Yes. As quick as I find out, I'll let everybody know.
All right. Well, you might have to come back on the station.
Okay.
On the radio station. So that's, Judge Burns has been in, he's been sitting for a long time. Yeah.
He's retiring.
Wow. Well, I guess I'll have to have a big old retirement party for him. is there anything else that you can think of that we need to mention while I've got you here?
No, not as I can think of.
Okay, well, Wanda, thank you so much for coming this morning. And if there is anything that changes, please give me a call and we'll get back on here. We're going to talk next a little bit about the coming up weekend. We've got, if anybody's been out riding around, you've already seen a bunch of yard sales sitting up, and Lois Turner's going to come and sit with me for a few minutes about, she actually was out at the recreation complex and stumbled upon a couple from Arizona. And we're going to talk about, her conversation with them. And in the meantime, I just want to talk a little bit about the roller coaster yard sale. First, please be cautious. All the drivers need to be very cautious for the next 3 days while the roller coaster yard sale is going on, because there have been fatal accidents in the past, and we've all got to just really be on top of our game out there on the road and make sure that we're paying attention to what's in front of us. Because people will see something on the side of the road and it grabs their eye, and they will literally hit their brakes and stop right in front of you. So we all need to be aware of that. The roller coaster yard sale is unique as the oldest and most authentic marathon yard sale in Kentucky and Tennessee. There are over 150 scenic miles, so you need to keep your eyes peeled if you're out on the road for the pop-up yard sales, small shops, farmers markets, you'll see produce stands, and even hidden eateries along the way that are unique. It's a destination yard sale, as it encircles the Delhalla Lake area.
you can begin, in other words, you can begin and end at any point that suits you. It's not like one of those endless sales that you end up in Indiana and then you have to turn around and come back. So this is 150 scenic miles, and it's just a very convenient yard sale. Friends and family can enjoy their day, while if you're the shopper, you can get out and shop yard sale after yard sale. The offerings include a lot of fall fare, like pumpkins, ornamental corn, gourds, corn shocks, any number of items for fall decorations. And we're smack dab in the middle of the fall harvest right now, so don't forget, too, if you're wanting to put apples up, you know, for those good old fried apple pies a little bit later, now's the season. You can get apples and then lots and lots. I've seen just everywhere some beautiful mums this year, all sizes. Cooking and crafting is another very unique feature. It's a perfect opportunity to plan, too, a little advanced Christmas shopping. You know, you've got new crafts, you've got old things, old items, just a variety of things. Invite friends and family from across the United States. It's a good time to get some family members in that you've not seen for a while and to show off your area and friends and show off your beautiful countryside. The surrounding 8 counties in Kentucky and Tennessee have worked effortlessly to promote this event with neighbors, helping neighbors to boost the local economy by bringing in visitors and income, of course, to the region. Organizations have also planned fundraisers, rolled out the welcome mats. On the Livingston Highway, for a fundraiser yard sale, the East 52 is planning a yard sale that will help to pay expenses to repair a fire engine that they had some recent problems with and had to actually go into debt to repair it so they could continue to take care of people. You can list one other unique feature about the roller coaster yard sale is that you can list it on the internet. If you want to have an individual yard sale, if you've got something planned, you can list it on the internet at www.garagesalestracker.com. You can also contact any of your local chambers of commerce along the way and actually reserve a spot if you decide suddenly to participate. And there are going to be some additional things like cruise-ins in Burksville, Birdstown, and Salina for those car enthusiasts. So be sure and get out. It's a 3-day abundance of yard sales and flea markets, crafts, antiques, and all those things. And treasures await you, and you just might find that special something that you've been looking for and didn't even know it until you saw it. You know, get out there and drive around. And we're going to take a break for our sponsors and be back with John Deaton.
Auto, property, farm, business, life, term, do you have enough coverage? Are you overinsured? Are you paying too much? How do you know what insurance provides the right coverage for you? Well, you can find out by contacting Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee. Hugh Davenport has been helping his friends and neighbors get the insurance they need for 36 years, and he can help you too. He'll make sure you have a full understanding of your needs and get you the coverage that's just right for you. Make sure you're not underinsured or overinsured. Contact Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau at 808 East Lake in Salina, Tennessee. Open Monday through Thursday, 8:30 until 4:30, and Fridays until 5. You can call him at 931-243-3181. That's 931-243-3181 for Hugh Davenport at Clay County Farm Bureau in Salina, Tennessee.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
This is Susan Bailey back with the Clay County Corner, and I want to welcome John Deaton. He's a local artisan and a nursery owner here in town, and he has been busy lately putting up some pretty cool things in and around town, getting ready for the fall season and for Halloween.
Well, that's what I'm doing. Actually, Susan, you knew that I was a professional.
Yes, I did. I wanted to be sure and mention that, too.
Well, I wasn't going to. See, I've been keeping that undercover until people got to know me so that the clown didn't scare them off.
Right.
But, no, being involved with Ringling Brothers Barnum Bailey Circus, I have some experience with production.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to do is bring some just stunning visuals to Salina for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them will carry on. The Chamber of Commerce, I'm calling that work, and it's not finished. None of this stuff's finished yet, but as we all are in our states of various completion,
right?
It's the Wheels of Commerce.
Okay, the design on the front of the building.
On the front of the Chamber of Commerce and the Wheels of Industry.
Mm-hmm.
So that might clear up a few guesses that people have been making.
Wondering what it is, yeah.
Grass skirts and who knows what else, crop circles. But that, I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
No, I've gone around and spoken with many businesses, and they're giving me a chance. Now, this, I'm not a professional doing this. I like to make landscapes, and I like pretty flowers, and trees and shrubs, all that. But this stuff is a reach for me, and I really appreciate the opportunity to do this. I don't know anywhere. I've lived in some places like Seattle and Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
I would never get a chance to do anything like this there
because
those guys all have PhDs in art or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a clown.
Well, but you know what? Your artwork, you may not claim to be an artist, but it's in there somewhere because it's certainly coming out.
Well, thank you.
I was just so excited to see the Tin Man on the pole out here at the square. And I think it's personally, I would like to see it stay. I think it's a unique piece. And I was recently at a meeting, and they had a whole section on marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that one of your draws is having a world's biggest, world's greatest, world something. And I thought, oh my gosh, that Tin Man could be the world's largest Tin Man. And I just think it's the neatest looking Tin Man that I've seen.
The world's largest Tin Man in Salina.
In Salina. Well, you know what? the way I see it is until we are disputed,
sure,
we can have the world, we can claim him as the world's largest Tin Man. And then maybe we'll have to go to the largest Tin Man in the southeastern United States, and we might have
Tennessee
to go on down.
Upper Cumberland.
yeah, but I would like to. We talked earlier a little bit about him, and you know, I think it would be great to have we're known as the champion world's smallmouth bass too.
Oh.
And I think it would be awesome to have a sculpted piece.
Yeah,
out
know,
of metal or something.
Thing, in most places, it is a juried artist that has gone through years of rigmarole and process to get to this. And I'm so tickled because I'm untried and untrue. Nobody knows. I don't even know that people drive by my shop every day saying, I can't wait to see what you're going to do next. And I say, me too.
Right.
Because I'm just seeing what happens.
Uh-huh.
But my interest is in folk art. And it's not some stuffy thing that you go to cocktail parties and wine and cheese and you know, flip your nose up. It's something anybody can do. You know, and this is going to be way off, but in Bali, the Balinese people, they don't have a word for artist because everybody makes art.
Mm-hmm.
Art is something that's just what they do, and it's how it's part of their language. So why do they need a word for it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyways, when I grow up, I want to be a folk artist.
Well, you might make it someday. You're certainly well on your way to do that. You know, I know that it takes a lot of time to do these things, too, to do these projects.
Yeah.
And I think probably there are people out there
that would love to participate, that have that spirit within them,
yeah,
that would like to do some of these things.
And it's so,
so
fun, because with what you can do when you're not concerned about it being perfect, stamped out,
mm-hmm,
from Walmart, some, excuse me, I didn't mean to,
mm-hmm,
but if it doesn't have to be perfect, then you can do it yourself,
mm-hmm,
and have fun with it, and then the more you do it, the better you get.
Right.
I'm thinking now, I work with an artist out of Red Bull and Springs, an accomplished chainsaw art carver.
Oh.
He paid for his farm carving bears. His
wow.
name is Tree, which is, it's actually
unique.
It's a nickname.
Okay.
His grandfather named him Tree and his brother Bush, but his brother doesn't like to be called that, but he goes Tree. David Alsop is his name. He's awesome, and he's a juried artist.
Mm.
So I work with him a little bit, and I'm learning from him, and I think we just kind of bring some energy.
Complement each other. And
but what we're talking about doing is teaching workshops.
Oh,
and
that'd
instead
be great.
Instead of me going around and trying to decorate a whole town,
mm-hmm,
which I love the idea of, if we had a workshop, then the whole town could decorate the town.
Right.
And the energy that would feed off of each other,
mm-hmm,
and the input, well, it could be something amazing.
You know, I've seen where in some towns that are struggling that buildings have actually been donated, and people have actually brought in tools,
mm-hmm,
and shared with each other and then come together as a community and started that kind of, that very same thing, building and making and having workshops. And it's just a, you know, an easy flow to come in and out, and you've got the tools that are there to use.
I've heard also, I think, where people would do a subscription to a workshop that was a shop, an open shop,
mm-hmm,
that they could make a donation or something to,
mm-hmm,
and come,
mm-hmm,
in and use, and that way not everybody has to have a screw gun.
Right.
Or everybody has to,
right,
have a skill saw.
Right.
And not that, I mean, everybody should have one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't, it's still nice to use one.
Right, and you could share the expenses.
Yeah, the things that people can do when they get together to do them.
Absolutely.
It's
magic. Know, you might have somebody that can perfectly execute one part of something, but they cannot figure out how to finish it.
Well,
and you've got somebody standing over in the corner that says, oh, I can do that.
Finishing it, yes. I can get a lot of things started, and I'm bad for that. That's my ADD.
Uh-huh.
But just that final touch, that finesse on something that turns it from being good to great or great to excellent, that kind of thing, that's where, well, someone like my buddy, Tree, he can come in and see that.
Mm-hmm.
I know, Tree. But he can come in and say, well, what about this? What about that? Well, yeah.
Uh-huh.
It's just...
Make things work. Make
yeah,
it happen.
Just that little... Actually, that's what the masters used to do in painting. They would have a school of painting, and the student would get so far to it, and then he would be done, and then the master would come in and do just a few flips.
Finish
and it turned it from a work of art to a masterpiece.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, I mean, here, I'm just, you know, I'm not a masterpiece.
Well, I know you have produced a lot of color coming in from the bridge, coming in from the Harmony Springs area, and there are lots of pumpkins and all out that way, so
yeah,
you're participating in the roller coaster yard sale.
Absolutely.
And that's a good thing.
I just borrowed some big rusty iron wheels from some old equipment from the Terry, the junk man, the metal recycler,
uh-huh,
and they're out there, again, just to make...
Yeah.
If they look... then they're more likely to stop. If they stop, they're more likely to stop more than once in Salina.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
And, you know, it would do some good for some people to stop in here and shop.
It sure would. Yeah, we need to. That's the only way we're going to survive. Well, John, thank you so much.
Oh.
Thank you so much. For
My pleasure.
Nobody knows this, but I ran in and grabbed him at the last minute, and I'm so grateful that he came in.
Me too.
I especially wanted to talk about Mr. Tin Man.
Yes.
And
all the other
people
who've asked me to do something, the one-stop, Doris's, the Express Pharmacy, and I know that they've all, and Johnny,
uh-huh,
and I'm sorry for all the ones I don't remember, the nursing home, I'm just so glad to get a chance to do
Absolutely.
It. Thank you so
yeah.
much. And
if anybody wants to help you?
Oh, please. Yeah. Certainly.
Okay.
And come and get ideas. You know, it's yeah, I want to work. I
All
love
right.
it.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
You.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And I got a couple of things, just a few things left with Lois Turner. She did actually stop by yard sale yesterday and spoke with some people from Arizona. Lois, if you wouldn't care to tell us what you learned about from them.
Okay, Susan. Yesterday they started letting in everyone that was setting up for the yard sale park. And I was over there with Ike Bonecutter and Bob Purser. And Ike was talking to some of the different people that were coming in. Some were yard salers and some wasn't. And their name was Rick and Jesse Cross, and they were from Phoenix, Arizona.
Wow.
And they had found us on the Internet,
mm-hmm.
and they travel around in their RV, and they have a buddy that rides with them. And it's a rescue dog. Its name
Four
is Lucy.
Four-legged buddy.
cute as it could be. They, professionally, they had a new and used antique furniture store.
Uh-huh.
And now they restore their Volkswagen buses, but they had the pop-up tent.
Mm-hmm.
They were probably the first minivans that had came in. And now they restore those, and
wow.
they go all over the country. They travel with their own,
mm-hmm.
and they have these big, big cruise-in
kind of I guess.
Cruise-in.
Yeah.
And they do that, and people from all over the world, they told me, came in. And people actually ship their Volkswagen buses
wow.
in from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
to go to these little cruises, and they was here shopping for some things, you know, to go in these buses,
mm-hmm.
you know, in that area. They're like the 1960s, between
mm-hmm.
60s and 70s, and she showed me some pictures of some, and they were just gorgeous. You know,
yeah.
it was really interesting to meet someone like that,
right.
and they were just so sweet, and they were talking about how nice the area was.
Mm-hmm.
They loved it, and they camped over there at the park. And they had went to some of the antique stores here in town on the square. And they were just really, really, like I said, sweet people. And we asked them, how do you like the area? Would you come back? And they said, oh, yes. And they got to talking to us some more. And they said, we love your accent. You know, I thought, I have no accent. I'm just country. And but they were really sweet people. And I enjoyed talking to them. And me and Ike was just really having a good time with talking to everybody
yeah.
that was coming over there just to shop or to be vendors.
Yeah. Well, that's wonderful to know that people come from so far away,
uh-huh.
too.
Found
that's
it on the
thing.
Internet.
And you mentioned the cruise-in, too. I can't go finish the program first without mentioning that the Cumberland Cruise-In is again this weekend, too.
That's right.
Thomas Watson's got that all pulled together, so cars need to pull into the square starting at, I think, 5 o'clock, 4 o'clock, maybe 4 o'clock. But the cruise-in is scheduled along with this roller coaster yard sale. So people bring out your hot rods and your antique cars.
And one other thing right quick, Susan, don't forget everybody, our chili cook-off is next weekend here on the square. So everybody come out for that and get a good bowl of chili and vote for your favorite bowl of chili.
Absolutely. And the pancake breakfast.
Oh, that's
I know
right.
we keep dragging it out, but the pancake breakfast is sponsored by the Lions Club is Saturday morning
from
early.
6 to 10:30.
Yeah.
$5 a plate.
All right. Thank you very much. And sorry, but this is, we're kind of pushing it a little bit, but this is Susan Bailey signing off with the Clay County Corner.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kix Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.